There is a belief that Jesus Christ Church is a universal church. And because it is a universal church, anything which comes along with Jesus Christ on it, with God on it, with the Holy Spirit on it, anything which comes along with Christ is said to be a part. God is said to be a part. The Holy Spirit is said to be a part. It is considered part of the universal church of Christ. This attitude or this philosophy towards religion and Christianity is that because that is so, because once you can associate God or Christ or the Holy Spirit with it, it forms part of the universal church. What we teach is not of great importance. How we worship is not of great importance. What we practice is of minor importance. The important thing is that Christ is a part of it. God is a part of it. Or the Holy Spirit is a part of it. And this is, according to this philosophy in present-day religion, this is what constitutes the universal church. That God has something to do with it. Christ has something to do with it. The Holy Spirit. In fact, you can tag, once you tag God on it, once you tag Christ on it, let us not waste time with things like doctrine, what we teach and how we worship and what we practice. Those are of minor importance. If the group is a church and consider itself a church, it is a part of the universal church of Christ. And therefore, on that ground, there are some saved in all of them, because all of them constitute the universal church of Christ. Christians must understand that the teachings we receive and accept is like, or can be compared to, healthy or contaminated food that we ingest in the body. The teaching we receive and accept can be compared to two persons, one eating and put out effort to make sure the food he or she eats is healthy. The other one just want to eat food. Any food is okay. What we must keep in mind, that one of these persons is likely to eat contaminated food that is not good for the system. And so is the teaching that we receive. And that's what Matthew 16:6 is about. Let us hear that passage.
Then Jesus said unto them.
And of course, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Read Matthew 16:6.
Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
When Jesus Christ gave this warning, leaven here is not the baking powder or yeast that you put in bread. Jesus Christ was speaking metaphorically here. Take heed and
beware of the leaven.
The leaven. That was teaching. Jesus Christ was warning his disciples that there are some religious teaching. You must be careful. First Peter 2 verse 2.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word.
The word sincere there means pure, uncontaminated, genuine, as newborn babes. You must not desire just any and any milk. Here again, the writer is speaking metaphorically. He's not talking about milk or drink. He's just comparing the word of God to milk. And that the writer chose to qualify, to have it qualified. It's not just milk. It must be the pure, that's what the word sincere means. It means uncontaminated. You must desire. And what that passage in Peter is saying, you must not just desire some religious teaching. You must want the pure teachings of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know that's an important thing. I have a lesson on it which I might have preached here. Do you want what Cornelius wants? Because when Peter and his company came to Cornelius' house, Cornelius did not say to Peter, we are glad to have you, Peter. We want now for you to give us your opinion on this vision which I saw. No, he was not. Here is a man that is not yet converted. That's why he was informed by God to send for Peter. And when Peter come, Cornelius' word was that we are here waiting on you for what God wants us to know. I am paraphrasing it, but it comes down to that. What God wants us to know. And we as Christians, we must have another sermon title, What Do You Seek in Religion? Comfort or Truth? Even we who consider ourselves members of the larger, we must always examine ourselves. What do we want? Do we want that which sounds good, or do we want God's truth? Because they are religious teaching which contaminates our soul. And when Jesus Christ warned his followers to take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Wait. The Pharisees and Sadducees. You need to give a little consideration to that too. They were not heathen. They were men and women who claimed to embrace God's word. Use the same Bible Jesus Christ used. And yet Jesus Christ warned his followers to beware of their doctrine. So the concept that the universal church that this business where you are interested in what a person teach, the person's doctrine, you are interested in how the person worship, you are interested in what the person practice or what the group practice, that is of minor importance. That they are a church means they are part of the universal church and they are saved in everyone. That's false. Nothing go like that. So I ask the question, where do we draw the line? That's right. It's important that as Christian you know that. Where do we draw the line? Well, should we draw a line? Should a line be drawn? That is, in making distinction, in making demarcation, in making separation, shouldn't we accept the philosophy of these people who talk about the universal church, that once they set out to please God and once they want to do that and claim they are doing that, no other question should they ask. Your doctrine is not that important. How the worship is not that important. These people and I do not read the same Bible. Because the Bible that I read, these things are important.
That's right.
look at Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And at first we want, I think, verse 17. Or rather verse 13. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 13.
Till I come.
Give attendance to the reading. Wait. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? You must do a lot of reading. And I remind everyone here, when years ago, Brother Holt, God bless his soul, and at this 10, point out, if you do not like reading, don't take up preaching. That's a fact. Truly. Because, you know, the Bible, Paul, and this is not the only place that Paul said that. Give attention to, read it again, brother. Till I come,
give attendance to the reading.
Give attendance to?
The reading.
To reading.
To exhortation.
That means pay much attention to reading. Do much reading. Do much exhortation.
To doctrine.
What?
To doctrine.
What?
To doctrine.
You sure that is there?
That's right.
You know what that means, brothers and sisters? Make sure you examine the doctrine that you preach and teach.
Amen.
It's not that, no, that is not important. You're a part of the universal church. Doctrine, how you worship. No, don't pay attention to that. That's a waste of time. No, that's not the way the Holy Spirit saw it. Give attention mean, pay attention to that. Don't take that lightly to doctrine. What is doctrine, Brother Mitchell? Your teaching. What you teach are the teaching you accept. It's important in the sight of God.
That's right.
Just as I've illustrated in beginning the lesson, that it's like eat. The man says, no man, I eat any and anywhere. Me no care. And some people have the idea that, well, the heat killed the germ. Well, that might be so to some extent, but you still need to pay attention to what you eat, who you eat from. And so it is When Jesus Christ warned his disciple to be careful, beware. Beware mean it usually indicate danger sign. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And the Sadducees and Pharisees were not heathen. They were staunch Jews who claimed to embrace the law of Moses. Jesus Christ warned his followers to be careful. So I ask the question still. Do we draw a line somewhere? Is it necessary to draw a line? Well, Jesus Christ drew a line. The first passage we asked to be read in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples even before the church started, before the church got started on the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples and by extension us to draw a line when it comes to doctrine. The brother read verse 6. Just now, verse 12 expand on it. Say Matthew chapter 16.
Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread.
Remember, wait, those who are not there with us. In verse 16, in verse 6, he asks his disciples, including the apostle, to beware. Remember, the word beware means danger is not far. When you see that, well, usually on the gate, beware, bad dogs. So now just open the people gate and go in. That beware mean there's danger there. And when Jesus Christ used this word, he was indicating that there can be danger in the teaching you and I get. So in verse 6, it is referred to as leaven. Leaven is baking powder. But then that left them thinking Jesus Christ was talking about food, bread. And they began to wonder, is it because we didn't carry any bread with us? Jesus Christ knew that they were wondering that. So this is where verse 12 comes in now.
Then understood they how that he bade them not be aware of the leaven of bread.
He was not talking of the baking powder you put in bread or fried dumpling.
But of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
You can't have it plain on that. May I, brother and sister? One of the reasons doctrine is not so popular is because it calls for effort. Surely. Doctrine calls for... Doctrine calls for us putting out effort to learn something and to remember something. That's the implication of doctrine. As against coming with some inspirational, stirring emotional lesson that it leaves you where it finds you. It gives you an high, but that high is full of emptiness. Doctrine asks that we put something here and we try to remember as much as we can, because Jesus Christ expects us, if we are true children of his, that we try to lead others to him by the truth we know.
That's right.
Jesus Christ expects that. And you cannot teach truth, the truth of the gospel, if you are not taught it and if you do not remember it.
That's right.
Then understood they how he bade them not of the doctrine of the leaven of bread, not of the baking powder you put in bread, but the one that describes certain doctrine. Why Jesus Christ referred to false doctrine as baking powder? You must always remember that. Because the very word he used there, there is a lesson in the word. Jesus Christ was saying to his disciples, his apostles, and by extension us, that in the same way, you put a proportionately small amount of false of baking powder in a large amount of dough, and that small amount of baking powder, at the end of the baking, that small amount of baking powder going to affect the entire dough.
That's right.
We must remember that. And we must remember the potency of religious falsehood. Because that's why Jesus Christ used the word leaven, baking powder. That you do not need a lot of religious falsehood to contaminate your soul. Those who were here Wednesday night, and we're going to pick up Wednesday night, and the fact that the Apostle Paul gave three illustrations when talking about the law and pointed out that among other things, you take up one thing from the law, just one thing from the system given to the Jews. And that one point you brought over as a part of your Christianity, and Paul says it put you away from Jesus Christ. Passage like, whoever is justified by the law is fallen from grace. That's what we were on Wednesday night, and we're going to pick just one. And there's about three points. That's the same principle here of baking powder, as false doctrine as baking powder. You don't need a lot of it. Just a little added to Jesus' truth, and it contaminate the truth and your soul. Jesus Christ drew the line. Not only in that passage, look at Matthew chapter 15 also. Verse 1 through 3.
Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.
Mm-hmm. Read.
But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition?
What verse is that? Three?
Three.
I like that. You see how Jesus Christ just turned the question around? It's important that you notice the emphasis, the priority here. Because a lot of times we act like that and don't realize it. You see. Now, the first place is tradition of the fathers. That is the tradition of the Father. That's their concern. That's their priority. Read the passage again, brother.
Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?
Of the elders.
For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.
Mm-hmm.
But he answered and said unto them,
Jesus Christ is going to turn the question around almost the same way, but for a small but significant change. Why do you
also transgress the commandment?
Notice also, you transgress something too.
Yes.
But notice this. The command of
God.
Of God. Not brothers and sisters. The vast difference between this is like light and darkness.
That's right.
Their concern was the tradition of the elders or of the fathers. Jesus' concern was the commandment of God.
That's right.
There is no comparison. That's right. A lot of times that's the same environment in which we live.
Right.
Where men and women is more interested in their church tradition than what the Bible teaches.
Amen, amen.
So Jesus Christ is here drawing the line. That what man's tradition is, the tradition of your church, has no relationship to the commandment of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And it is out of this discussion comes verse 13 through 14.
But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let wait, them alone.
Wait. Before, brother, verse 9, because verse 9 is a part of the discussion.
But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
May I? Did you know that doctrine, teaching, determines whether worship is acceptable or unacceptable?
That's right.
I wonder if you get it. If the teaching that governs worship is based on the pure word of God, it is acceptable worship.
Right.
God will accept it. If the teaching that governs worship is church tradition, handed down by men and women down through the ages, that worship is unacceptable to God. It matters not how sincere the worshippers are.
That's right.
The teaching that governs worship determines whether worship will be vain. That means you just engage in it for nothing. Or whether worship will be acceptable. Notice the passage. In vain they do worship me. Do you see what I see? Their object of worship was correct. They were worshiping Jesus Christ. That means they were worshiping the right person.
That's right.
Yet the worship would be in vain because the teaching or doctrine that guide them was not from God's word. That's still part of the teaching from verse 1, you know, about the tradition of the elders or of the Father and the commandment of God. Jesus Christ has interest in this part. He does not have much interest in this part. And remember, we live in like environment religiously today. We're men and women. That's why, as I've said, people talk about what faith you belong to. There is but one faith. That means there's one body of doctrine.
That's right.
Verse 13 through 14 now.
But he answered and said,
I'm showing that Jesus Christ did draw the line. Jesus Christ answered and said,
every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up.
May I? Jesus Christ is not talking about botanical plant here. Always remember that. Christ is not talking about the breadfruit tree and the mango tree. I hope nobody root up those. He's not talking about botany. It's talk about religious institution. As the brother read further, you're going to see every clan. Remember, you know, the disciple came and complained to Christ that your teaching offend the other religious leaders. So Jesus Christ, in effect, is sort of setting his disciples and the apostles straight. Christ says, any religious institution not planted by my Father, there is a day or a time of rooting up coming.
That's right.
Read on.
Let them alone.
That's right. Let them alone.
They be blind leaders of the blind.
You see, it's talking about worship, leaders, blind, lead blind. Talking about environment where leaders and followers, those who teach and those who learn, leave them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind.
And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch.
May I? If you allow me or anybody to mislead you, don't ever take comfort in the fact that, well, a brother Mitchell fall, you know. No, it will be your fall too.
Sorry.
If you allow yourself to be wrongly led, it will also be Brother Mitchell's fault and it will be your fault. You'll notice that in these passages, it was not enough that they be religious. Remember where we're coming from. We're all over where you find religious people. People are now over the past few decades, people talk about the universal church of Christ and that you must not pay attention to what the person teach. While that is important, it's not so important how the person worship, what the person practice are. If that group set out to praise God, that is all that is important. No, that is not all that is important. And Jesus Christ is pointing that out here. Jesus Christ is pointing out that it is not enough that men and women be religious. It's not enough that they use the same scripture. It's not enough that they claim to worship the same God. He said, beware. Christ drew the line on the topic of worship. We have just seen that in verse 9 of chapter 15. We have seen that in Isaiah 29. Let us look at Isaiah way back there in the Old Testament. Isaiah 29. Verse 13 and 14.
Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men.
You hear again? May I? When you and I read this in Matthew 15, the writer Matthew was quoting from Isaiah. Can you imagine that some 700 years before Jesus Christ, the Almighty God was teaching the Israelites that they should be careful of their doctrine? 700 years before Christ in the time of Isaiah. The Almighty God was teaching Israel. Listen to the passage again. Read it again, brother.
Wherefore?
The brother is reading from Isaiah 29, verse 13 and 14.
Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me.
Hold it again, brother. What we must get there, God desires sincerity.
That's right.
From all of us. Don't just engage in any action of worship. Be sincere. Be there with it. Be wanting to be a part of it. When you set out Saturday come, you know you have to be in worship Sunday because the time you have throughout the week, 24 hours every day to do your business, it is reasonable that your own rationality tell you that as a child of God, you are to set some time aside willingly, gladly for God, for worship. That's what worship is about. Where you come for the purpose of giving honor, praise, worship, adoration, reverence to the Almighty God. Mm-hmm. But this is not an impulsive thing. You don't wait until you get up Sunday morning and you begin to think, what else there is to do? What relative going to visit me today? Who can I visit? You know, I can't think of anybody, so I'll drop by church. You know, I worship God like that. God's time should be put aside. That's when it becomes sacred. It must be willing. It must be gladly. So this business of honoring with their mouth and their lips, but their heart is far from me, that is saying, make sure that you give God what is his in a willing way. Read, brother.
And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men.
Here again, the precepts of men is what we call the doctrines of men. Way here, 600-700 years before Jesus Christ, the Almighty God was serving notice to his people Israel that the teachings of men should not be mixed with the commands of God's word. Jesus Christ is saying the same thing to us today. There must be a plain, thus saith the Lord, from the gospel for anything, any practice, any teaching we do in the Lord's church. What verse are you, brother, in Isaiah?
End of 13.
14.
Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid.
You see, it's human wisdom. Watch here now. It's human wisdom, our so-called wisdom, that made them push aside God's word and accept man's precept. God says, I'm going to put that wisdom to nothing.
That's right.
And last but not least, not only Jesus Christ drew the line. Here we see in Isaiah, the Almighty God was drawing the line between his word and the precept of men. The question I'm asking, where do we draw the line? Should we make distinction, separation? Should we recognize that there is any difference? Or should we forget all rule, all principle, and just accept everybody? In the Lord's church, Jesus Christ sets the condition upon which anyone is accepted. In the Lord's church. The apostle drew the line and doctrine or teaching. The apostle did, not only Christ. The apostles of Jesus Christ did. We will not be able to look on all the passages. We are well aware of, let's just look on one or two, and the lesson will be Romans chapter 16, verse 17 to 18.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Stop there, stop there. You know, I'm not even sure I'm going to go beyond this one passage. Look at it now. I beg your brethren.
Mark them.
Wait, take time with me, brother. I'm slow. I beg your brethren. Start the passage again. I beseech.
No, I beseech you, brethren.
Which means, I beg you. I'm appealing to you. What is Paul appealing to them for and about?
Mark them.
Mark them.
Which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned.
May I? The division and the offense is caused by people who fail to follow the teachings of Christ.
That's right.
Very important, we must notice this. Mark them which cause division and offense. Not just division, you know, but they create a lot of problem in the church because they do not show any respect for the word of God. Are we all there? You're not there at all. You see? But he said something else here. Mark them. That's a strong word. This was talk about people in the church. That's right. This was not talk about outsiders. Mark them which cause division and they create problem in the church, offense. This is done because they are going contrary to the teaching. You see, doctrine?
That's right.
Doctrine, we are not supposed to go contrary to the doctrine of Christ.
That's right.
But it says something else there.
And avoid them.
What?
Avoid them.
What?
Avoid them.
Avoid them. Give me another time to look a little further on the word avoid. I'm going to stop here. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to 7 more passages. Just passages showing that the apostle drew the line. So I ask the question, where do we draw the line? Men who talk about the universal church. And once that group set out to praise God, we must not put emphasis on doctrine. What they teach, how they worship, what they practice, those things are important, but they are not so important. No, those things are the most important thing.
That's right.
And it is for this reason the apostle is drawing the line. Mark them. You know, mark them. When you see them, you know them. And avoid them. The apostle drew the line. So we must not go around giving people the idea that everybody who joins a church is a Christian. Everybody who is religious, they are Christian. Everybody who is nice is a Christian. The Almighty God has specific conditions which must be met before He approve us as being cleansed from our sins and being children of His. Those conditions are not made or set by man. They are made and set by the Almighty God. Yes, we are to draw the line like Jesus Christ, and we are to draw the line like the apostles. I may take up the rest of these passages another time to show the many ways the many situations under which the apostles of Jesus Christ had to draw a line. We must learn that.